I'm crying out for that. Thank you that tonight we can just come to a place where we say, Lord, it's you we want and there's nothing else, Lord. There's nothing else that can satisfy us, Lord, as you came to satisfy us, Lord. And we just pray that tonight, Lord, that you'll come and meet us, Lord. I really feel, Lord, you want to come and meet with us in such an intimate place, Lord, that we've never been in our lives, Lord. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'll come. Come and lead us to that place of intimacy. Thank you that you're so good, Lord. Thank you that your love is so great, Lord, that it's so big, Lord. Your heart is for us, Lord, to really come to know you more, Lord. To hear you, Lord. To feel you, Lord. Therefore, will you just come and praise you and worship you tonight, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, you are welcome to grab your seat. And while you are sitting, I just want you to greet someone that you haven't greeted before. Tell him who you are. Give him a hug. Give him a high five. Can I just see by raising your hands, who had a nice Valentine's Day yesterday? Where's all the single girls? Can we just see? I heard you had a Galentine's Day. And all the single guys? Yes. Oh, we'll pray for you afterwards. There's nice girls in the church. You must just watch. You must just look out for them. So I want us to open our Bibles in 1 Corinthians 13. Lol, now I'm joking. That's normally what you read on Valentine's Day, but not tonight. But those people who don't laugh, you don't know your Bibles, I can see that. I really am excited for tonight's word because we really had such a great time in the Lord's presence this morning and the Lord wants to bring it to you guys as well. And I'm going to speak on worship tonight and that we are called, each one of us, we are called to a place of such intimate worship, a place where we don't have words, where we can't describe what we are experiencing now. God has called each one of you tonight to come to that place where you don't even have words to express your love. You don't even have words to express how you feel at this moment. And for some of you, it's going to be strange because you've never experienced that in your life. But I want to say tonight that, listen, God desires such intimacy with you. His heart is for you to know Him, to hear His voice, to even touch Him. And so I'm excited for the word. If you're excited, just make whoop, whoop. Yes. Great. Okay. So it all started at the beginning of the year. We were a couple of friends. We went to the farm over New Year's because in Bloemfontein there's no sea or not even really fireworks. So we decided let's go to the farm and we're going to just enjoy each other and really had such a great time with fellowship and And also seeking the Lord, because it's so important when you go into a new year that you go into the year knowing what the Lord is saying for you for this year. And if you haven't done that before, you know, the year is still not very far in. You can still do that. So I was, we always go to this farm. It's there in the vet store. And I was at this place at the river where, can everybody hear me, or is this thing making a weird sound? Is it fine? Okay. So this river where I always go to sit down and I spend time with the Lord. And as I was walking through this river, I asked God, now, Lord, what are you saying for me for this year? What is your scripture for me for this year? You know, because I want to put it on my wall, and every morning when I go out the door, I want to see, oh, this is what the Lord is telling me for this year. And immediately John 4 popped into my head, and I'm like, whoa, Lord, that's so obvious. It's like everybody knows it's about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, where Jesus gives her this water, and he says, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst. And I was like, whoa, Lord, that is so, like, can't you give me something else, you know? Like, I love that scripture. That's the one of my best scriptures in the Bible, except the whole Bible is awesome, but that is one of my most favorite scriptures from the whole of scriptures. That is my favorite. So, then the Lord just said, listen, Jacobus, just go sit and read. Just go sit and read chapter 4 from the beginning. And so I went and I read and I started, you know, Jesus coming to this woman at the well. And then something struck me that I never realized in my whole years of living. that after Jesus had this encounter with this woman at the well, immediately after that, he started speaking to this woman about worship. And he said, listen, woman, the time is coming when neither... What? Huh? I said, die ding, ek gaan hom afhaal. Hy maak hier die hoe spooke klank. Okay, so listen, he said to this woman, listen, woman, now, after I gave you of this living water, now I want to say what it's actually about. Yes, when you drink of this living water, you'll never thirst, but there's far better. There's a place that I want to take you that's far beyond just drinking of this living water, and that is to a place of intimacy with the Father. It's a place of worshiping the Father. And at that moment, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit was like, this is your scripture for this year. This is what I want you to hold on. This is what I've called you for this year. And that is, and I really believe it's for us as a church as well, where we can come to a place of really worshiping the Lord, worshiping our Father in spirit and in truth. And I'm so excited for that. So tonight, here, let's read from, you can open your Bibles if you have a Bible here, or your phone or tablet or whatever you have. Turn to it or switch it on. John 4. I'm reading from the ESV translation. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Is almal daar? Wag, ek moet net gou 'n bietjie wag. I heard that I'm really quick in going just into the scriptures. Is everybody, if you have the place, just raise your thumb. Okay. So John 4, verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for me a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us a well and drank from it himself, and did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let's just go back. Then I just all one scripture back. Now let's all read that part one front. Yen four and two. That's it. The water that I will give him, let's read together there from verse. But whoever drinks, it's the fourth line from the top. You see that? 1, 2, 3. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said, You are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What have you said? What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Wow, and what a great passage. And we can really, we can almost make sermons every day of the year just on this passage. But this thing is really irritating me. So.
Hello?
That's better. Okay, so we can really, we can spend so much time in this scripture in bringing so much sermons out of it because it's so rich. But guys, tonight I really believe the Lord has such a great word for us tonight. And I want us to really go to that place where the Lord is speaking to us. Okay. So, yeah, I just wanna, before we go on, I want to share how I came to a place in my life where I really started loving to worship the Lord. Because I was brought up in a Christian family and my dad is a Baptist pastor. And he's really an awesome man of God, and I'm honoring him so much. But, you know, when I was in the primary school and also until the stage of high school, I just went to church and I just sang all the songs because that's what you do. You come to church and, you know, you sing songs. But sometimes it was so boring for me, all the songs. So, and then I never engaged and I never really came to a place where I can worship the Lord and I can feel His presence in my life because it was so, you know, just songs. Who had experienced that before in their life? You know, we just come to a church and you just sing a couple of songs and then there's a guy who preaches. But there was a moment in my life that the Lord came and He came to change everything. And it was when I was on a mission trip and I went to Mozambique. And on that note, I just want to encourage you guys really to join us this year for missions because it's really a place where your life changes completely. We're going to lots of countries like Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Uganda, and India. So if you want to join us for missions, really guys, it's awesome. You can ask many people in the church. There's a few requirements you have to do to come with us, so just make sure you do that. But anyway, so I was on this mission trip. That was just a short ad break. So I was on this mission trip in Mozambique and, you know, I was sitting there in my tent and I couldn't even really play guitar. And in that moment when I was busy worshiping God, the presence of the Lord filled that tent. It's almost like the presence of God filled the temple, but it was just my tent. And, I was just remembering, I started weeping. I couldn't contain this presence that I experienced of the Lord. And in that moment, the Lord really came and just, He came to wake something inside of my spirit. And He just started, you know, by loving me. And that moment I will never forget in my life. And that was a moment where the Lord really came and He came to open my heart to worship Him and to start worshiping Him. And so I went on. I came back from the mission trips. I was so on fire for God. And, you know, my life just changed in that moment. You know, it's like the same with the woman at the well. In that moment when Jesus gave her the living water,
a life change completely. Okay. And I just fell in love with worship and just to love God and to express my worship to Him. Because you see, worship is a place where we come into intimacy. It's a place where worship isn't just the slow songs in church and praise is the fast songs in church. That's not right, guys. Worship is where you say, Lord, I'm coming to a place of, it's moving. Worship is to move towards God into a place of intimacy. And therefore, God is really calling us. He said to that woman, listen, woman, the time is now when I'm calling for true worshipers to start worshiping me. The time is now, today. I don't want fake worshipers and half-hearted worshipers. I want true worshipers. And that scripture is revelant for each one of you here tonight. He said, listen, guys, listen. Jesus is here. He's saying, I'm calling you to come into a place of true worship. I don't want half-hearted worship. I don't want worship that is full of dirty water. I want worship that is full of the living waters that spring out of that fountain, like Jesus said. If you drink of this water, a fountain of life will spring open in your life. Guys, and there's some of us at that fountain have never even been opened in our life. We've just come into church every Sunday, and we are just... Well, some of us have lost that ability to really experience the worship and the presence of God. And so I trust tonight that by the Spirit, we will come back to that place where we can... We were so intimate with God. Guys, because God desires intimacy with us. He desires intimacy. And so, if you look back at the story of the woman, you see, the thing that changed her life wasn't that one encounter that she had with Jesus. Yes, that changed her life, but the thing that I think what changed her life completely is that Jesus went over so many boundaries in the first place to come to her. She was almost like a prostitute in that days. The Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't even speak to each other. It was like apartheid mal duisend. Verstaan? Hulle het daar gebly en hierso het die Jode gebly. They didn't even come towards each other. She had 5 husbands. Everything, if you look at how a real person, a nice Christian must look, it didn't add up to that. She had 5 husbands. She lied. She's a Samaritan woman. And now Jesus comes to her and says, listen, give me of this water. Because Jesus isn't interested in how we feel or how we look or how many sin we do. Because the moment when Jesus comes to our life, the moment when we receive the living water, everything changes. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life and then we can worship Him. There's lies going around us, guys, that we must first do all this stuff. We must come in such a place of holiness in our life. Then we can start worshiping the Lord. That's nonsense, guys. That woman, she didn't even really knew Jesus. That woman. But you see, that is the power of living water. When living water comes into us, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, everything, our past, everything that we've done, all the sin, all the unholiness gets wiped away, and we can immediately enter into a place where we can start worshiping God. Isn't that so amazing? Because it's all about the sacrifice that Jesus has bring. And we are busy, guys, we are busy drinking of the water of this world. But Jesus says, stop. Because if we continue drinking of the water of this world, our well becomes dirty. This fountain becomes so a straalkie, a dripple, en dan sou nie meer iets nie. And guys, how are we drinking? You know this new movie, 50 Shades of Grey? I can't believe it. I can't believe that there is even such a movie. It's such a disgrace. You know, I read the other day that is the dirty water. And we choose, listen guys, we choose what we fill our well with, what we fill our spirit with. We can either choose to fill it with the living water. And Jesus said, if you drink of this living water, never in your life will you thirst again. Or we can continue drinking of the water of the world. And what happens? We take a sip and then 5 minutes later we are thirsty again. So we take another sip of something else. And then it goes on and on and on and on. And we are busy really bringing our well in such a place that we really need... Well, we can't even hear the voice of God anymore. We can't even feel His presence. And that is the moment when our hearts become hardened. And so, just back to this movie, The 50 Shades of Grey. I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard there's so many countries that didn't even allow that movie to play in their country. And there's some countries that said the only way that this movie can show in our cinemas is if the age restriction is 21. What did South Africa say? Bring it on. 16. 16 is fine. You can only have to be 16. And this afternoon, I saw one girl. She's in Shofar. Yes, but you see, this is where we have to help each other. We need to be our brother's keeper. She posted on Facebook. Woo! She and her friends, they went to watch this movie. And I messaged her. I Facebook messaged her and said, you cannot go there. You cannot watch this movie. It's really not. Why? And the world is saying yes, because the world is continuously telling us, you see, if you drink of this water, the waters of the world, oh, it's so fantastic. And they just promote, they pushing it the whole time into our faces and say, drink of this, try drugs, try drinking, try sleeping with each other, try having sex with each other, try doing all this stuff, watch porn, do all this stuff, because this is the water of the world. You see? And you can never, ever be satisfied with that water. You will always long for more. You will always long for more because it isn't satisfying. And we as humans, we need water to live, okay? If you don't have water for 3 days, then you die. So Jesus knew how important. He used this example because he said, listen, this is so important. Water is so important for our life. And he said, but I am that living water. I am that living water and I want to give. You see, it's by invitation. He says, Lord, you have to say, Lord, I'm thirsty. That woman said, I'm thirsty. And Jesus said, ask and I will give you of this living water. So guys, we have to come, and that is why worship, we can't enter into worship if the well that we drink from is of this world. Because what happens? What happens? Our heart is hardened. And we're going to look at some scriptures later. But therefore, it's so important for us to say, Lord, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to worship you alone. All these other stuff in my life that I'm busy worshiping, we need to come to a place of repentance. We say, Lord Jesus, I'm turning away from all these idols in my life, from all this dirty water in my life. The Lord wants to come tonight, and we had that word in this session as well. He wants to come and purify us through worship tonight. Because some of us, we are busy drinking of the wells of this water. But the Lord is what He's, and that's why He's so good, amen? This is an encouraging word for you. I'm sorry, it's really encouraging for us. Because the Lord, He wants our hearts to be sanctified. He wants us to be in a place of holiness. And we can truly just experience Him and be full of the living water. Okay, so in my life, I had also to ask the Lord, where is that areas in my life where I still want to be satisfied with the waters of this world? And that is what sin is, guys. Sin is just another thing that satisfies us quickly, and then we go on. Why else do we sin? Because we are satisfying our flesh. We are satisfying our fleshly desires. And this is going to really sound really, but... when I was in Stellenbosch, Sias, he preached the one Sunday, and he said the Lord told him that we, as the body of Christ, we are making Jesus a prostitute in our lives. And just hear what I would say. We go into His presence, and then we go out. Then we go on with our life. Then we come back on Sunday, we go into His presence. Oh wow, it's so awesome. We get the charismatic goosebumps, everything. And then Monday, we just go on with our lives. And we must stop it, guys. We cannot continue to do that. We cannot just use the blood of Christ every Sunday. It's such that the sacrifice that Jesus has brought us is so far beyond that we can ever think or imagine. You see, but we never had that experience. We must get to a place where we can also be at the well. And there's other well that the prophet speaks in Isaiah, and that is a well of salvation. Guys, we need to know that the well of salvation is open. It is free for all of us to come and drink of that. And the more we drink of that well of salvation, the more we will start worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Okay. Are you guys still with me? All right. We're going. Tell your neighbor we're going somewhere. Okay. There's a few elements that we need to understand when it comes to worshiping God in spirit. Firstly, we need to know that when we want to worship God in spirit, our spirit needs to awaken. We need to be born again. And when we get born again, our spirits awaken. And then we can worship God in spirit. That's why he said in spirit and in truth. So we need that new nature. And therefore Jesus came and he said, come, I give you new life. Now your spirits are reborn. And on Tuesday night, we had such a great time at Bible school. And I really want to encourage you guys. Come and check it out. It's awesome. It's really, and it's free. But we had such a great time when we spoke about our salvation and the needs that we have. And part of our needs is for us, for our spirits to be reborn. Because when our spirits are reborn, we can connect to God. Because God is spirit. Amen? So, firstly, we need that our spirits are reborn. And when we worship God as well, in spirit, we need to say to our thoughts, listen, thoughts, you must be silent now, because we must, when we worship God in spirit, we must think towards God. We must think on God. Our thoughts must also be there to glorify God. So sometimes, that's why David said in the Psalms, he said, my soul, be silent now. Be silent and worship God. Because our thoughts come in once they distract us from really coming to a place where we can worship God. Right. And then another thing that's so important is that we need to bring our revelation from our Bible study in the mornings to church. Because when we worship God in spirit, we need to know the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God so that we can meditate on it while we are worshiping God. Right. And what happens, guys? What happens when we worship God? Who can tell me? What happens when we worship God? Firstly, the first one is God is glorified. If you can go to that scripture. God will be glorified. Everybody say, God will be glorified. Amen. So for Psalm 50 verse 23 says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So that scripture says when we give sacrifices of praise and offer to God, God is then glorified. You see, in what happens when God is glorified, it's so cool, guys, because when God is glorified, he's exalted. Like tonight, when we worship God, he's exalted above our lives, he's exalted above this school, he's exalted in this area where we came together in Gardenia Park. That's why I'm so excited that we are going to start worshiping in our small groups on campus, and we're going to praise and worship on campus, because the moment when we start worshiping God, scripture said he's glorified. So he is lifted above all the spiritual principalities and the darkness of that place, because then when our worship lifts him up, it exalts him. Okay. The next thing is that God, you can go on one more. Christians, we are purified. Psalm 24 verse 4 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear. He speaks about when we go up to this mountain, we need clean hands, we need a pure heart. So in worship, guys, we are being purified. And purified means we are being cleaned from all our sins. In a way, have you ever experienced when you are worshiping that the Lord just comes to reveal sin? He's just coming to reveal your heart. Who experienced that? And that's a way that God comes to purify us. So worship is like a washing. It's like washing our dirty clothes. Because throughout the week, we walked in many places and we've been amongst many stuff and we've seen many things. Our clothes is like dirty. But worship is like God coming to wash our clothes again. He's coming to purify us, purify our thoughts, and purify our heart. And then another thing that worship also does, it edifies us, the church. Look here, guys, this is in Acts. When we read in Acts about the church there, when they worshiped God, the following things happened. They found favor with God. They found favor with everybody. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They filled the city with their doctrine. They turned the world upside down. They were winsome. They were attractive. They were dynamic. So as soon as the church, us, corporate, start worshiping God, you see, we are edifying the body of Christ. We are edifying, we are edifying ourselves and also the body of Christ. And I heard this testimony of one lady. She came to our services in Stellenbosch, and she wasn't a Christian her whole life. She didn't believe in Jesus or anything. And she came to that service just to have a look of what Christians are doing. And afterwards, she came to the guy who spoke, the pastor, and she said, I didn't understand a word that you were preaching. I didn't understand one scripture you were saying, but the thing that changed my life and that's changed, that will keep me to be changed, is the way that the Christians worshipped. Their worship changed my life. And that's so a blessing just to hear that testimony, because worship truly brings us into a place of thanksgiving. It brings us in a place of release and in freedom and in the presence of God. Because when we are in the presence of God, guys, nothing else matters. You know, this weekend Saturday morning, I was so stressed and I don't know what to share today, and it was just so hectic, and it was all this stress. And then I just put on worship music and I laid there on the carpet. And in that moment, the peace of God just came on my life. And that's what worship does. That's what worship does. It really brings such a peace. It brings such a safety in our life. Okay. And then the last thing is when the church starts to worship in God, the gospel will go out. The lost will be evangelized. Okay. Because you see a fountain, when water comes in, it has to go out again. You see, and as we start worshiping, the living waters come in us, and then he said the fountain of life will go open. So as we worship God, as we breathe, come to into that place, then automatically the waters will go out again, and we will start spreading the gospel to the lost. Amen. All right. So, guys, you can ask me, yes, Jacobus, but I did worship now tonight. What are you talking about? That? Then I just want to say, guys, I haven't even reached a place in my life where I can really say that I'm worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I just want to share on the heart of God that He really longs for us to come into that place of intimacy. Guys, but we have the keys. We have the keys to unlock that. It's in our hearts. We choose how far we can go into the presence of God. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in worship and I just had this vision. And in this vision, I heard lots of angels singing, but mal by Engele, they were just singing and praising Lord. And as I opened my eyes, I saw myself in this room, in this dark room. But there was a door open. The door was open. And when I looked into the door, I saw the throne room of God. And I saw just like angels and glory and life and worship and praise. And I asked Lord, but why am I in this room? Why am I not there where everybody is worshiping Him? And the Lord just said to me, but Jacobus, you chose to be in this room. You said to me, you said, I'm satisfied with this. This is what I know. This is what I'm comfortable with. But as soon as we say, Lord, I'm going to step out into that who I don't know. I see many people waving flags and dancing and falling on the faces. See, because when we come to a place of true worship, We don't have fear of man in our life anymore. Because the Lord will sometimes say really radical stuff for us to do now. I remember David also, he said the one time, he said, with the Lord just told him, you have to go on your knees now. You see, that is part of worship where we really come into that place, but we have to be obedient. We cannot stay in the room with the door on a and we say, Lord, now I'm satisfied with this. Because there's far more than that, guys. There's far more than that. And who wants to go into that place in the throne room? Who wants to really experience, Lord? Guys, we can. Because the veil has been torn. The blood is there. So we were on a missions trip. Yes, I love to speak on missions because we have to go. That's what Scripture said. We don't pray if we are going. We say, Lord, am I staying? Because Matthew 28 says, go to all the nations. So we were last year in June. We went to a mission in Malawi. And the whole time the Lord was just busy speaking to me on living waters. And he wants to pour out waters and lots of water stuff. And I said, yes, Lord, come on. That's amazing. So we spent the 1 week we spent in this town called Makochi. And shame, they were now under the water literally with the floods there. But so we were there. We spent the whole week there. We saw lots of healings. We saw radical stuff happen. Because when we went out in obedience, guys, healings. Blind people saw a deaf and a mute girl was healed completely. We saw a man being healed from cancer, AIDS, like he was busy dying, and the next day he was running around. You see, that's the power of God. That's the power of the living waters that comes out of to us and to other people. So we were the whole week there, blown away by the Lord's goodness, by his favor. And then the Saturday was now our off day where we can rest. And so we decided, so there's lots of cool stuff to do. We want to go to the market and buy, the girls want to buy that wraparounds. And they have this awesome, they call it a bicycle taxi. You know, have you seen the bicycles in Africa? It's this mean 1,000 kilogram fietse. You can move your house with that stuff. Literally, I saw stuff on that bike that I think, whoa, how can that bike still go? But in any way, they go. So, so the guys wanted to go on this fiat taxi. And so I just said to the team, well, okay, guys, let's just quickly come together before we now enjoy our day. And we're going to sing a few songs and we're going to pray and then we can go. Whoa. I didn't know that God's plan wasn't just for us to come together and just sing a few songs, because we never just sing. We never just sing a few songs. It is never just songs. It's far beyond that. It's far beyond that, guys. And we need to understand tonight that we never just come to church to sing a few songs to God and to clap our hands. Okay, so we came together and we started worshiping God. And I just knew in that moment that this isn't just going to be another worship day. This is going to be deep now. Guys, and we were standing outside, just imagine now this small little yard, and some of us were standing under the roof of the stoop, and we were worshiping God, and while we were worshiping, you know, the Lord just says, go deeper, and we went deeper, and the next moment, when I opened my eyes, there was stuff coming down from the sky, and it fell on us, and it wasn't rain, and it wasn't feathers, I don't know what it was, but it just fell on us, that group, that team, it just fell, because I looked around me and nowhere else, it was blue skies, there wasn't even a cloud in the air, and even the people that stood under the house, in the roof, they also said they felt that glory of God coming on us. Guys, in that moment, we were just undone before God. That is that place where we say, Lord, well, now I can't even bring anything to you anymore. Not even my greatest works or my heart or anything. can do what you've just done to me now. And the only way that we could go on is by responding to worship. And we fell on our faces in the sand and we worshiped God for 5 hours. We were crying and weeping and worshiping God because of His goodness. You see, we didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve to experience the glory of God in such a way that only on us as a team, a miracle happened and we could see the glory of God coming on us. But it's because of the love of God and because it's the Father's heart that He wants each one of us to come in such an intimate place with the Father. After that 5 hours, I stood up and we were a bit like drunk in the spirit as well. And I said, well, this wasn't in the manual. I don't know what to do now. So that changed. You see, that moment changed everybody's life. They could not stay the same because what happened? They were at the well where Jesus was giving them living waters. And He was feeding them. And He said, drink, drink of this living waters. And guys, God wants to give us that waters. He so desperately wants us. But we choose. We can say, Lord, yes, give it to me. Give it to me. Or we can just go on by drinking the waters of the life. Let's read. I want to close with this following scripture. And then I really trust that the Lord wants to come and meet us tonight. Who wants to have an encounter with Jesus tonight? Amen. Yo. So, let's read. I just want to open. Let's open our Bibles in Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 22. You see, you can ask me now, Jacobus, but how? How do I come to that place where I am so undone before God? Then let's read this. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is a recipe, guys. This is how we come into an intimate place of worship before the Father in His presence. Okay. It's of a pure heart. It's a true heart. A true heart is a heart that is so devoted on God. There's nothing else in my heart. It's a place where your heart is so fixed on God. It's like David says, Lord, unite my heart with your heart. That is when we have a true heart. When we come to that place, we can go on. That is that place where God is calling us. He says, draw near to me. Draw near to me with your true heart. Your heart that is not divided. Because guys, our heart can be so easily divided and become hardened. But Lord says, if you want to worship me in truth and spirit, then I want your heart that is a true heart. And like David says, unite my heart. The second thing that Paul mentioned, or whoever, who was it? Who wrote Hebrews? We don't know, ne? Yeah. Okay. The second was, he says, with full assurance of faith. And guys, this is where we have to stand against the lies of the devil. Because the moment when we start worshiping God, what happens? The devil comes to me and he says, you cannot worship God now. Look at all the stuff that you've done in this week. You've done this. You watched 50 Shades of Grey. How can you even try to worship the Lord right now if you've done all this stuff? You see, but there we have to say, we have to really be assured of our faith. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Just listen how amazing the scripture says. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. The Lord says, come guys, with confidence, because of what? Because of how cool I am and how great I read my Bible and how many times I've prayed for people to be healed and people rose from the dead? No. We can never enter into the presence of God according to what we have done. It's always, and it is, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of Christ that we can have full assurance of our faith. And we have to come into that place when we lift our hands and we say, Lord, I want to worship you now. And the devil comes with all this stuff. We have to say, in Jesus' name, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I can enter now into the presence. So the next one, he said, the heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, before it he spoke about all the blood of goats and animals, but now the writer says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see what the blood of Christ came also to do? It came to clear our conscience. It came to purify our hearts, to sprinkle our hearts from an evil conscience, because you cannot worship God if your conscience is evil. Right. And then the last one, washed with pure water. And guys, this scripture is so important. If you want to put a scripture on your wall, this is a nice one. You can all go and Facebook it afterwards also. But it's Galatians 2 verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this scripture is baptism. Nothing else than baptism. Where you say before lots of people, you say, Lord, I die to myself. I die to the stuff of this world. And now I'm living for Christ. That is what baptism is. So guys, this is how we worship God in spirit and in truth. The only way is by recognizing what Jesus has done already for us on the cross. The finished work. You see, because we think when we come to church and when we want to worship God, you see, we want to try and fix ourselves every time when we come into worship. But you see, we have to come to a place and say, Lord, I draw near. Not because I'm so good and because I'm so cool and because I drink tea with the angels every morning. It's not about that. It's about the finished work of Jesus and what he already has brought for us on the cross of Jesus. Therefore, we can enter now into his presence with confidence. Therefore, we can go into a place of such intimacy. You see, God is, you know that scripture, Jan, help me. I've done all this stuff. I've prayed for the fast on that. And then the Lord said, go away from me, I never knew you. You know that scripture, Lord, Lord, but I've done this and I've prophesied in your name and I've gave food to the pure and then the poor. And the Lord just said, but go away from me because I never knew you. That word knew is the Hebrew word for yada. And that word is the same word that is so, that the man and a, I almost said a man and a husband, a man and a woman used when they enter into sexual intercourse. That is the place where God is calling us to. So intimate, guys. It's so intimate. I haven't been there yet. But I know the Lord says, I don't want him to say, go away because I didn't know you. And the place how we can know God is by worshiping him. There we can know God. There we hear his heart. There he encourages us. It's in that place of worship. I want to end off and the band can come up so long and you guys can stand with me tonight. I want to tell us a story of a moment where a woman's life was changed completely. Okay, so this story, it's a real story, because a testimony is always real, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we cannot argue or stand against this. But last year, there was a team who went to Iran on a mission trip. And for those who don't know, but Iran is a close country for the gospel. It's one of the most persecuted countries, actually, in the world. And they went there on a mission trip, and there was this one woman, and she came to see us the one morning, and she said, "Well, before I continue, I just want to pray for us right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want to come and touch our hearts, Lord. We say thank you, Lord, that your presence is here, Lord. Your glory is here, Lord." Father, you want to open the door for us tonight to enter in such a place of worship that we've never been ever in our life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just choose right now to say, be silent to our mind, Lord, and to our heart, Lord. Anything that wants to distract us, Lord. Because we know, because according to the blood of Christ and the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can know you. Amen. So this one woman, she came up to see us and she said, "See us, I want to tell you how I encountered Jesus and how he changed my life." You see what happened was she was a full-blown Muslim woman. She was in the Iman, and the Iman is like the theology school, theology school for the Muslims. You go there to really learn the Quran. She knew everything about the Quran, but she had this one friend who was a Christian, and this friend started praying for her because she loved her. And so she started praying, and the one night this woman, she was sleeping and she had this dream, and in this dream she saw herself standing on a hill, and she was there alone. And when she looked in front of her, she saw a man. And that man had a white robe on him. And the man was busy walking towards this woman. And when she looked down, she saw that she stood completely naked. But she wasn't ashamed. Because the man, that man with the white robe, came walking towards her. And the moment he placed his arms around her, she experienced such peace and love and acceptance that she never experienced in her life. Because that man with the white robe could see everything in her life. All the stuff in her life. But the moment that man came and he wrapped his arms around her, she experienced something that she'd never experienced in her life. The next morning she woke up and she went on with her day. The second night she dreamed again, and it was the same setting where she was standing on this hill and the man with the white robe stood there. And he came walking to her. And as he came walking to her, she said to the man in the white robe, "I'm thirsty." And then the man with the white robe gave her a cup with water. And she started drinking this water. And when she was finished with the water, she looked in the cup. And in this cup, she still saw a golden cross. The man with the white robe left, and she woke up the next morning and she was so overwhelmed, you know, what is going on? And she called a friend, and that night she went to bed again and she was sleeping. And just when she was sleeping, she woke up with someone. It felt like someone placed a hand under her pillow, and she switched on the light to look if there's someone in the room. But there was no one in the room. And then when she lifted up the pillow, there was a golden cross, a real golden cross laying on the bed. You see, but the thing that changed her life wasn't the golden cross. You see, the thing that she said to see us was, "One thing I will never ever forget, and it was the man with the white robe who has fire in his eyes." She said she can never ever forget the fire in his eyes. And you know, that woman is now so full of Christ. She's so on fire for Jesus. Why? Because she experienced him. She had an encounter with him. She had an encounter with his love. She had an encounter with his acceptance. She had an encounter with the living waters. And she had an encounter with his eyes. And guys, there's some of us here tonight that we had never had that experience. We never had that experience where we can say, "This day, my life changed because of an encounter with Jesus. Because of an encounter with his love. Because of an encounter with his of His presence and His acceptance. And Jacobus, you are saying, I must worship and I must do all this stuff, but I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to begin to start worshiping God. I don't even know Him. How can I worship Him if I don't even hear His voice? If I don't even experience Him? Guys, but this is where we come now. We say, Lord, I want to draw to You. You see, if we draw to God, He comes to us. Scripture says, ask and it will be given, knock and it will be open. So tonight, I want us just all to close our eyes tonight, right now. Just close our eyes and I want us to think. Just let's just look into our hearts and say, Lord, where am I? Where's my heart? Where's my heart? Is it set on You, Lord? Is it in a place where I can really so know You and so be so intimate with You?